everybody. Welcome back to Peace Train, the podcast. We're here with best-selling author and the creator, the writer, the producer, the director of Peace Train, the movie, and Peace Train, the book, Renee Mullen Masters. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and being with us today. How are you in Ashland, Oregon?
I'm fine. Ashland is beautiful today.
Well, I love it. Your dog Meg was barking, the UPS driver shows up, you got a box of Peace Train books there. How did that make you feel?
Oh, it's so great. When I opened them up, I got chills. That's so great. You want to see it?
Yeah, yeah, hold it up there. You bet.
Peace there Train, it is.
Love story.
There's a book.
Well, it was really downloaded to you. You tell the story, and we always have new listeners on each podcast, how you were in Houston about a year and a half ago and how it was downloaded to you. Kind of give us the backstory for new listeners that don't know about the screenplay and the story and why you wrote it and who's it for.
Okay, perfect. Well, a number of years ago, probably 3 years ago, I was taking a class and the teacher asked us, if we died tomorrow, what would we feel sad about that we didn't do this lifetime? And I knew what it was immediately. I knew that it was, I wanted to do something in film. So what I did is I talked to my editor and I said to my editor, do you think I can write a fiction story? And she said, well, you won't know unless you do it. So I did what I did with my other book. I got really quiet. I went deep inside and I said, okay, I want to write an inspiring story. And I want to write a story that solves a problem. So I started writing a story and I didn't like it very much. And then she called me and said, Renee, I just did an interview with a lady that did these camps. So I went to her website, read all the stories about the kids, how they had become friends at camp. And when they got home, everything fell apart. So I thought, okay, great. Here's the story. So what I did is I just went deep inside and I waited for this story to show. And it was a fantastic ride. I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know what was going to happen. I wrote a couple of scenes that I didn't use because the story went to the left instead of the right. And it was every day, it was an adventure of discovering where this story was going to end up. And when I was done, I didn't know if I had anything that was worth reading. And so I started sharing it with friends and they encouraged me and they said, no, this is a great story. So that's how it all came into happening. And then I got a software program. And so I took the story and I made it into a film, into a movie script. And now where we are is we have a book, we have a movie script, we have a team putting the movie together. We're looking for funding. And here we are, 3.5 years later.
Yeah,
and I didn't know how to do this.
Well, yeah, you have a 200-page book. It's an exciting book. We're getting great reviews on Amazon and everywhere. People are commenting, people are sharing, and the tribe's growing. You know, people know you as the best-selling author of You're Smarter Than You Think. You sold over 125,000 copies of the nonfiction book that really goes into people's brains, how they're wired to help them learn and memorize knowledge past the test date, right? So, people knew you as that, and here you are now with the fiction book that's about to get funded as a movie. How did the download happen? Give us some more of the backstory about some of the characters, and what did you do when you got stuck, or did it just flow for 3 months where you just wrote the book all at once, or did you find yourself grappling with the storyline?
Well, first of all, I need to say I really fell in love with the characters. It was amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing. I mean, it's easy to do. They have a compelling story.
Yeah, and I fell in love with them. They were like children to me. And I got fascinated by this story. And the most amazing thing that would happen is a book would fall into my lap. And that book had a solution to a problem that I was running up against in the story. Or I would hear something on TV and that was exactly what I needed. It was like, the story came to me. It was handed to me. Sometimes I could literally hear the dialogue that was happening. And I've heard other authors talk about this. Shonda Rhimes, who is very well known, she does the same thing. She goes deep inside into this place, and her story comes from there. And when she's in that place, she's oblivious to the rest of the world. And I was too. One day I spent the whole day. It was early morning when I started. It was dark when I finally went, oh my gosh, I've been writing all day. And that's what happens. And I want to tell the story. Stephen King, I saw him on an interview once, and he said, I just love to scare people. And so what I want to say is that I just love to inspire people. So that's how we're the same, just a little different.
I'd rather be inspired than scared any day, I can guarantee you. In this book, you make some friends out of some kids that are not supposed to be friends. Give us that backstory. What's going on there?
Well, these kids go to a summer camp in the United States. And some of them are Israeli, some of them are Palestinian. And those kids are taught in their culture to hate one another. They're taught to hate one another.
Yeah.
So when they come to this camp, they have a willingness, but they're like terrified. They don't know. They've never touched an Israeli or a Palestinian. They're sitting right next to them. They don't know what to do with that. And, you know, it's a very delicate situation.
There's teenage romance. There's infatuation. There's love. There's attempted murder. This plot's got everything. There are edge of your seat, terror and amazing plot in Israel, in the U.S. and back, and spanning the years that it does, and bringing families together after they've been ripped apart and back together again. So I tell you, there's no wonder that it's getting the pickup that it's getting. Now, you were at a play recently, today, and you saw this play, and it really touched you because you put out a blog post last week called Retribution versus Consequences. Give us a little backstory of that and how the play affected you today and what happened.
Well, one of the things that happened for me in this book, this is a story about how we push people away and how when somebody hurts us, we want to hurt back. We think that solves the problem.
Right.
But in this story, we learn that that is not a good thing. I mean, that hurts us. It doesn't hurt the other guy. And so in this article, I wrote about that situation. And I wrote about a story that actually happened to me, which is a really good friend of mine was murdered. This happened about 30 years ago. And I remember the next day at her folks' house saying to myself, I've got to forgive this. I knew I had to forgive this.
Right.
I didn't know how to do it. I just kept saying, I need to forgive this.
Wow.
So about 10 years after that, my friend's husband calls me and says, I've made contact with the murderers in prison. And I'm writing to him. Do you want to write to him? And I thought, yeah, I really do. So I began writing to Michelle. And at first, I was afraid. It was so weird. I thought she would come and kill me. It
right.
was really strange.
Oh, wow.
But as I got to know her and understand how this whole thing happened, she became a person to me.
Wow.
And my forgiveness went all the way. And I even helped to get her parole. And there was a person in story. Who, my friend's personal assistant was there. She didn't die because she played dead. But she has never forgiven what happened, and she is stuck right back where she was 30 years ago. She can't move. And she wow. even fought to not let this person be a parole. So, you know, when we think there's no consequence when we do retribution, but there is, and the consequence is over here. It's on us. It doesn't hurt the guy we're hating.
Wow.
It doesn't bother them at all. And the thing that was happening in this play today, it was a comedy, and it was slapstick. And there was one character that had a point of view about life that was different than the rest of the audience. So when one of the other characters puts a pillow over his head and puts him and kills him, the whole audience claps and cheers and wow, yay, we got rid of him.
Oh my goodness.
And that's what we do. We don't even think about what we're doing. We don't even.
I wonder if one of those crowd members, maybe on the way home or maybe later tonight in the shower, says, you know, comes to themselves, has an epiphany, and says, oh my gosh, I was just cheering for the murder of this innocent person, and just get a hold of that, how subconsciously our entertainment, our television has wired us. And I think your book, Peace Train, A Love Story, with the principle of looking at things differently, right? Just like you chose to forgive, and how the other person that didn't forgive, it's hurt them. They're stuck. They're still stuck in the past of 30 years, and how you've moved forward. And even the person that committed the murder got the parole and you forgave. You looked at it differently, and that freed you up, and you created a friendship pod where you said, let's look at this differently and hear the other person.
Yes. And it was, it's not that Michelle, one of the things that the murderer did is she realized she was 18, she was on drugs, and the guy that she was with had threatened her. But the truth is she had to own what she had done and the pain that she had caused
right.
the family. She had to own up to that.
Mm-hmm.
But she also had to forgive herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all make mistakes. She was a young kid, and I think she paid her dues. She was in prison for 20 years. Okay.
Wow.
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. And she got a college degree. She's been training dogs for the blind, I think, or the deaf.
Oh, wow.
And she's a positive person. And I think she deserves a chance outside. And
yeah,
that's my
absolutely. And you know, every generation, from the millennials to the Gen Xers, the boomers, and on every continent, what you're teaching here with the principle of forgiveness and friendship pods and seeing things differently, it's really making an impact. What would be your goal with the movie and the book, Renee, now that it's out and you know, we're beginning to get traction and selling books and getting the movie funded. What's your hope for a listener there? How can they take the book and apply it to their life and make their life better?
The thing that's wonderful about the friendship pod, and that's the technique that's in the book, is that anybody can do it with anybody. So you can sit down with your teenage son or daughter, and who doesn't have trouble connecting with them? I mean, they're in their phone. But you can do a friendship pod with your family members and create a connection and an understanding that you've never had before. And when you do that, it ripples out. That's the way we create peace. We create peace in our own homes and with ourselves, and it ripples out and it creates peace everywhere else. That's how it happens.
Well, the other person feels validated. I noticed the other day you posted on social media, it was a family sitting down at a restaurant and everybody's looking at their phone, but you know, you wonder about these school shootings and these violence and kids on meds and things, and there's a lot of factors. But if somebody's not feeling heard and validated, that causes a ripple effect. And I think what we're seeing with Peace Train, A Love Story, and with the message and the movement you're creating some magic there. Hold up the Peace Train again. I want to get a screenshot of everything here. Exciting things are coming. Follow the podcast, Renee Mullen Masters, director, producer, writer, The Peace Train, Peace Train, A Love Story. It's transformative. Rarely do you find a fiction book that you can see yourself in. And I'm holding up the original nonfiction, You Are Smarter Than You Think. And I like to hold this up and share it because this is really what started it all. We've got links you can follow. There's more. You can buy her original book because there's processes in here that will help your brain rewire your life for success. And Renee, I want to thank you again. I want to encourage everyone to follow peacetrainmovie.com. Exciting things on the website. And we've got some exciting announcements. We can't tell you everything yet, but every day, almost every week, we've got some new news. So Renee, thank you so much. And looking forward to everyone. Share the podcast, tweet it out, share it on your Facebook. Renee, thank you so much. Any closing words from you or Meg, that as she's fetching books for you there in the snow in Ashland, Oregon?
Well, you know, I should imitate her. She goes, bark, bark, whenever the UPS guy comes.
She's full of love. What a lot of fun. Our executive producer, Denise O'Brien, and I at your house in the snow recently with Meg. What a great writing sanctuary where you can light your fireplace and read and write and enjoy your time there. So any final words to your listeners, any words of Peace Train from you?
All I can say is, if you want to be inspired and if you want to discover a secret, then you're going to want to read the book, Peace Train, A Love Story. Thank you.